We are dealing with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is not Daniel. It is not Abraham. It is not Isaac. It is not Jacob. It isn't even Elijah. It is the God of Elijah. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that created everything. The God of Adam, the creator God who made everything that you see out of nothing. That same God is living today. That same God loved you so much, he gave his only begotten son that you might have everlasting life. That same God is still in control. He's not relinquished his power. He's made promises that he's fulfilled. There are many others that are not yet fulfilled. But before your eyes right now, many of the prophecies and promises of God are being revealed. And I'm thankful for that. He is God. He is God. The God of Adam, the God of creation. He's the God from whom you cannot hide. Adam tried to hide from him, found out he couldn't do that. But he's the God of redemption. He slew some animals and clothed Adam, much like he gave his son that we might be clothed with the righteousness of the Lord. And then last week, or the last couple of weeks, last week was our staff appreciation, but I've talked about the God of Enoch. And today I want to begin talking about the God of Noah, and it'll be a few sermons somewhere, not tonight. Tonight, I want you to come back tonight if you can from 6:30 to 7:30. But I want to show you what the ark is a picture of, that massive ark. I don't know if you've ever been to see the ark. I have preached for years about the ark. I have a message on the drowning of John Smith. That's a dramatized message. I've not preached it in several years, but I will in the next couple of weeks, but not tonight, about the drowning of a man by the name of John Smith. I remember years ago, way back in the 70s, I was in revival. I was not preaching the revival, but I was in revival down in Florida. The church was packed. It was so full that people were sitting all around in chairs, standing around, and even sitting on all the steps. I happened to be sitting on one of the steps in Candy Creek Baptist Church when the preacher was preaching that night. And he preached about the ark, and it was a blessing to my heart. And I don't remember all that he said, but for the first time, it dawned on me one statement in the Word of God, and it says this, "And everything in whose nostrils was the breath of life died." It didn't take 40 days and 40 nights. It was probably a matter of hours before everything, every creature, every human being on the face of the earth died because of sin. Just that quick, God opened the windows of heaven and the fountains of the deep. And I began to wonder, what must it have been like to live in that day? What must it have been like to have died in the flood? And God burdened my heart and gave me a message on the drowning of John Smith. I'll preach that on a Sunday night in the very near future. You pray that God will help me, though. I got to know it's God, and I got to be right on time with the Lord when it happens. But this morning, I want to come back. Look with me, please, at Noah this morning in your Bible, Genesis chapter number 5, and look at verse number 28. "And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah, saying," the word Noah means comfort, "this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Now skip over. Let's look at chapter number 6 in your Bible about the life of Noah. Look at verse number 1. For the sake of time, I'm going to skip a little bit, but look at verse 1. "And it came to pass that when man began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years." I'm going to skip the next few verses, but skip down at verse number 5. "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But look at verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I leave off the reading there. And I want us just to bow now for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the wonderful congregational singing this morning, for Brother Eric being here to play the piano for us this day. God, thank you, Lord, for the choir and the anointing of God on them. And Lord, on the specials this morning, thank you for Brother Chris and Brother Craig, and Lord, for Brian and Cabot, and God, for Miss Teresa. And I pray now in these few moments that God, you'd speak to my heart and the heart of our friends here gathered. And God, I'll praise you and give you glory. God, everybody in this building is accountable to God. Everybody in this building will one day die or either leave out of here in the rapture. And God, we know that beyond that, you have appointed a great day of wrath on this earth called the tribulation period. And God, I pray that you'd help us to learn something about the God of Noah this morning that will sustain us in the hour that we're living. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. It's hard for us to understand and to get a kind of a time element of what's going on in creation. I tried to sit down this morning way early and do a little chart of who was born and when they were born and how long they lived. And if you'll do that, you take time to do it, you'd probably be better than I am at it. But the truth of the matter is, it was somewhere about 1,500 years after the birth of Adam when God destroyed everything of his creation. Adam lived longer than you would think he did. Matter of fact, when you realize it, he lived right on up to within 120 years of when Noah was born. Enoch walked with God, and it was not. I preached about him. He was the great-grandfather of Noah, and he was living. Enoch was living after Noah was born for 84 years. When Enoch was taken, Noah was actually 84 years old. He knew his great-granddaddy. I have never met my grandfather or my grandmother on either side. All of my grandparents were dead when I was born. But he had the privilege of knowing Enoch. And I, as an 84-year-old man, he had watched him, and he knew that he walked with God. Noah did have a godly heritage. The son Methuselah, who was born afterward, was called after me the deluge. And he died the day that Noah went into the ark. God, Adam knew all of those. And after the flood, Noah lived 300 something years. He lived up even to the time of Abraham. So he had 300 years after the flood to live and to tell the new generation of people about what God did. And it's a relatively short period of time. You and I here, from now back to the Old Testament, there was about roughly, up to the birth of Christ, was roughly 4,000 years. And now here we are in the year 2000. It's been over 6,000 years. And the seventh year is going to be the tribulation period. And we understand that our clock is ticking. We're getting down close to the end of time. But Noah, what do we learn about the God of Noah? He walked with God. He knew God. He had a godly great-grandfather in Enoch and Methuselah. He had heard them. He saw and heard about his great-granddaddy being taken up in the rapture. Wow, what an amazing thing that must have been. And so he pondered that for some length of time. But then God spoke to him. What about this God of Noah. I'm only going to be able to share about two things. I got about 10 that I'll share with you over the next few weeks. But this morning, two things I want you to understand. Number one, he's a God who can send comfort. When Noah was born, his name means comfort, and his father, Lamech, called him Noah because he will comfort us concerning the Lord and the curse that is put on the ground. This word comforter is not the same as you think. Some time ago, I preached a message on the comfort of his coming. And the difference between comfort and consolation. Consolation means if you have something to happen in your life, people come by to console you. They'll say it's going to be all right, everything's good. But this word comfort doesn't mean that at all. When he talked about the return of the Lord, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It means an encouragement, an uplifting voice. It means to encourage you to keep on going. And he said, Noah will encourage us to keep on being faithful. Keep on being faithful to the end. God did curse the ground for Adam's sin, but God is a God that will help us and he'll encourage us. He is a God of comfort. He is, when he was leaving the Lord Jesus Christ prior to his death, he said, I'm going away, but he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another Comforter. That was the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back, but I'm going to give you somebody to be with you. The word means parakletos. It's somebody to come alongside. It's somebody to encourage you. It's somebody to hold you up. It's somebody to keep you going. And the Holy Ghost of God was sent. And I'm telling you right now, in 2025, with the bleakness of our hour and all that's going on in our world, the Holy Ghost of God is our comforter. He is inside of us, not to console us when our loved ones die, although that is a promise. But he is here to encourage us and to keep us going. And the God of Noah is a God that can give you encouragement to keep on keeping on. Though God had cursed the ground for Adam's sake, he was still blessing those who'd be faithful, though they were very few. And a matter of fact, I read the verse of scripture where it says that all the world was wicked and that every thought, imagination of their heart was only evil continually. And God said, the end of all flesh is come before me. He will then tell Noah about building the ark. So he's a God of comfort. I don't care what's going on in your life. He can keep you going. He can give you encouragement. He can bless you and he'll sustain you and keep you. He made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's his comfort. His presence is our comfort. And he is a God of comfort. He's the God of all comforts, Paul says. He can help you in any situation. And I want you to know that no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter how it looks like everything is falling apart, one thing after another, he's still the God that can keep you going. I think about Brother Eric and Laura and their family, how they've given their life to the Lord, how God's used them and blessed them. And you see Ms. Laura and she sings and boy, God blesses and touches her. But you don't know all that she goes through every day of her life. She's battling for years now lupus, and now she's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And yet on the cruise, I watched her. She kept on praising God. She magnifies the Lord. And now she's come down with the flu, but she keeps on keeping on. And she'll tell you quick, and Eric will tell you quick, it has nothing to do with them. It is the God of Noah. He is the God of comfort. He's the God who'll give you strength and aid. He's the God who won't ever leave you or forsake you. But then notice, if you will, the main thrust, and I'll be through quickly. Look at verse number 8. Now, I know it was 1,200 years after the Bible was canonized. That is, after all the books of the Bible were together, the Old Testament and the New Testament, six books. But in the year around the year 1,200, it was categorized and chapters and verses were put to help people be able to understand it. And so I'm not saying that Bible verses or whatever are inspired, but they do bless me from time to time. The number 8 in the Bible is the number of new beginning. The Lord created the world, rested on the seventh day. The eighth day was a new beginning. And notice what verse it is when you see for the first time in your Bible the word grace. It is verse number 8 of Genesis chapter number 6. The first mention of grace, of a new beginning. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And anytime you experience the grace of God, it is new grace, but it is a new beginning. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now understand this. God has already decided in his sovereign purpose that he's going to destroy everything in whose nostrils is the breath of life. But one man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. His name is Noah. He found grace. It's God's grace. God's grace. And judgment was coming. It was going to be horrible. It was going to be total. And the only thing that made a difference between him and the others was the grace of God. And the only thing that'll keep you out of hell and out of the tribulation period is the grace of God. It's by grace that you're saved. John Newton was a slave trader. And he had a godly mama. She'd prayed for him. One time on one of those slave ships, there was a mutiny. They took him and beat him and throwed him overboard for dead. But then they took a harpoon and cast it and caught into his body and pulled him back to the ship. And down in the lower part of that ship, John Newton came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And he wrote that song that you and I sing, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved." Oh, what a blessing to know that grace can bring us conviction, but grace can bring us cleansing. Look up, if you will, please, at verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. But now, he said he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what a blessed thing to know that. Look at the latter part of that verse number 9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now you say, that's why God saved him? No, God saved him by grace. But what you see in verse number 9 in the Bible is the number for the fruit of the Spirit. And what you see in verse number 9 is what grace did in his life. In the first place, grace justified him. The Bible said in the book of Romans that we are justified, Romans chapter 5, verse 9, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are guilty of sin, and sin has to be judged. And God can justify us. The Bible said this is how he can justify the ungodly. How is it? God didn't forget your sin. He didn't forget my sin. He judged our sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he executed my judgment on his son. He descended into the heart of the earth. He thirsted. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did all of that for you and me. He suffered our death. He suffered our torment. He suffered all the weight of God's judgment on our sin. And so God can forgive your sin because your sin's been paid for. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Noah experienced justification by cause of grace. The shed blood of Christ is the price of our justification. Simply put, it means just as if you've never sinned. But not only does he experience justification, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that we're justified by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Listen to this, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Did you know that God gives you faith? You say, Brother Billy, I don't know if I can believe it or not, but I'm telling you right now, God will grant you saving faith. He'll give you faith to believe. Even the faith to accept Him is His gift to you. My dear friend, you can be saved today by grace, but only by grace. It's the only way to go to heaven is by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says this, that He was just a man. It was just man and perfect. What does that word perfect mean? Well, it means this. It means without pollution, really in the Hebrew, without pollution. Doesn't have any pollution in it. It means that it has not been contaminated. Here's an amazing thing. Noah is walking among people every day of his life, and he has for years, hundreds of years, and yet he's not been polluted. He's not been fed by the world. He's not got the world in him. He's walking in grace. He's trusting God. He said in Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Noah had walked with God. He'd been with God, and he had not been polluted by the things of the world. Why? He experienced grace, and he had the Holy Spirit of God in him. And grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteous in this present world. Grace teaches us how to live, that we can live clean before God. Noah, the God of Noah, is a God who will give you grace, who'll give you faith, who'll keep you clean. And then he said this, and Noah walked with God. Two men in the Bible walked with God. The other one was a great granddaddy. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Noah followed the lineage of his great granddaddy. He walked with God. My dear friend, you walk with God because you're in agreement with God through the grace of God and through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. My dear friend, the God of Noah is a God of grace. It's available to anybody in this building. Anybody can be saved by the grace of God. The Bible said that you believe on Him. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not yourselves, it's a gift of God. Grace is available, full and free. Grace is God not giving you what you do deserve. Grace, my dear friend, is God's remedy at Christ's expense. The God of Noah is a God who'll comfort you. He'll be with you to encourage you and help you, but He's a God who'll save you and forgive you of all of your sin. And the reason He can do that is because He gave His Son to pay the sin debt for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The God of Noah is the God of grace. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? Our Lord said, He said, I am the Lord God. I change not. I don't ever change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the cry is this morning, whosoever will may come. Let the Spirit and the bride say, come. Whosoever will, let them come. Now, my question to you is this. Just as sure as you're sitting here, Noah was living in a day of great wickedness. You're living in a day of great wickedness. Judgment was impending. Judgment was coming on that people. And everything in whose nostrils was the breath of life will die. But Noah found grace. And right now you're living in what we call, in theological terms, the age of grace. You're living right now in a time of grace. When God is long-suffering, judgment is coming. This sin, people will not get by with the sin of this world. Judgment's coming. But right now, God has in His sovereign purpose planned it through His grace to save all who believe. Jesus Christ bore your sin in His own body on the tree. He died for your sin. That is, God extracted from Him and in Him and through His blood, all the payment on your sin. The wages of sin is death. He died, He paid that sin debt. But the gift of God, the grace gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you trust Him this morning? If you've never trusted Him, I pray this morning you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a God who loves you. If you'll call on Him, He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll save you. He'll help you to love Him, walk with Him. He'll be with you every step of the way. Maybe you've been praying about a church home. Maybe you've got a burden or care. We're going to give you an opportunity to come around this old-fashioned altar. Let me say to you this morning, if you're not saved, He'll save you right now. If God's speaking to your heart about church membership or baptism or whatever God's dealing with you about, if you'll come to Him, He'll bless you. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray now that men and women, boys and girls, will be glad for what they do now in eternity. I pray, God, if they're not saved, this would be the day, having heard the beautiful singing and the Word of God, and know that You are the God of Noah, You're the God of all comfort, and You're the God of grace. God, I pray they would experience that grace. All of our righteousness is filthy rags, not by works of righteousness we've done. By the deeds of the flesh, no, and by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified in Your sight. It's all by grace through the shed blood of Christ. And I pray, God, this morning that the Holy Ghost of God will make that real to some man, woman, boy, or girl. This is Your people. This is Your work. God, have Your way in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls now. Brother LaVon's going to sing a verse of song for us, verse of invitation. Let me invite you, first of all, if you know God, it's your life, your testimony, your witness that will count because you walk with Him. I encourage you this morning. Oh, what a wonderful song the choir sang. We're to give thanks. Maybe you just once again want to get around this altar and thank Him for grace. Thank Him for saving you. Maybe you this morning need that grace. You need to be saved. Will you come? We invite you now to just mind the Holy Ghost.